Oh, yes, it's a Football Friday on the Hoffman Show. Wild Card Weekend Edition here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube. Where now, you know, you guys don't need to see my water bottle. It's big, full, wired, ready to go. It's got water in it. We're hydrated. Even though it sounds like it might have, like, straight coffee with shots of espresso inside of it. Because that might be the most energetic show open I've ever done in the entire whatever history of this show. Because you know what? This is the first time we've gone into a weekend where the Commanders are playing a playoff game in the history of this here radio show. That's right. We're only 3 years old. We're like 2.5. But the point is, it's been since 2021 since the Commanders played in a playoff game. The 2020 season, January of 21, Taylor Heinicke and company went down and lost to Tom Brady in Tampa. This time, it's Jaden Daniels and company, and they're going down to face Baker Mayfield in Tampa. And Anthony, we typically start the show with asking what's at stake. I think that's pretty self-explanatory this week. You win, you keep going, you probably play Detroit, unless Green Bay upsets Philadelphia, which becomes harder because Jalen Hurts has finally cleared concussion protocol. First time he has been eligible to play since he left the field against the Commanders in week 15, I believe it was. But now all of a sudden, if that were to happen, you could go to Philadelphia, or I guess, sorry, if the Packers win, then you'd get the 3 seed, because obviously Philadelphia would be out. So I guess it's impossible for them to play Philadelphia.
I thought we would play Philly in the second round because
it's impossible because either the Packers win and that means Philly's out, or the Packers lose, which means the Commanders are the highest remaining seed if they win, and this they would go to Detroit. I believe that's how that works because it's a reseed situation. It's not a straight bracket.
I like the way you think, Craig.
Yeah. I don't know why it just took me until right now. What's at stake? We're learning on the fly. But you win, you move on. You don't, your season's over. But I do think beyond figuring out permutations here, it is worth pointing out just how far we've come. And we've done that a little bit this week. But it becomes even more cemented today because the Commanders have not one, not two, not three, but 4 players named to the All-Pro roster. And do I think all 4 were 100% deserving? If I'm being honest, probably not. Like, was Bobby Wagner truly on the second string of all middle linebackers in all of football this year? He was pretty darn good. And linebacker play is pretty diminished. But that might be a little bit of a reputation thing. And while you can get upset with me for saying that, and Bobby Wagner might be like, I'm still playing my ass off, bro. And I'd be like, yes, you are. But we know that Bobby Wagner's not the peak of his powers, Bobby Wagner. He's still a tackling machine. He's all over the place. He's been tremendous for this organization. But when do the Commanders get reputation, guys? Like, think about that. The Commanders, the Washington Commanders, got a guy in based off his reputation on an award voted in the media. Most people are looking for excuses not to give awards to this place because they're terrible in every single way for 30 straight years, basically. And now here we are in year numero uno of this new regime, year number 2, kind of. I'm going to say even year number 1 for the owner, because last year was kind of a year 0. He bought it the day training camp opened. Or the day before training camp open is when the ink went dry. In year number 1, they got guys getting reputation all pros. Was that reputation built elsewhere? Yes, but you have to be paying attention. And so Bobby gets it. Frankie gets it. Tremendous honor for him, a guy who had an incredible season. And Terry gets it. I think a guy who absolutely, based off production, deserved it. And then, I mean, I don't know what the kick returner situation was around the league. I didn't pay attention to every kick returner, but certainly Austin Eckler was one of the best while he was playing, but he missed a ton of time. Typically, that's enough, Anthony, to be like, no, 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 no. We're not doing that. Austin Eckler, it's the kick returner, second team all pro. And I think what's remarkable about that, about those 4 in particular, is they're all very different stories for Washington, but they tell collectively the story of the season. Hear me out on this. Number one, Bobby was one of the first guys in. Zach was the first guy in. You remember, Zach Ertz signed before the free agency period last year because he, the way, I think Detroit, he was on the practice squad, something, he got cut. Like, he was eligible, and he had been released by Arizona, I think, to sign for Detroit for the postseason practice squad. So once the postseason ended, he was eligible to sign anywhere because he was technically already a free agent. So with that, Zach was the first guy in. One of the next guys in was Frankie. But, like, on day two of free agency, Bobby Wagner signs. And I remember being like, wow, this is crazy. And he signed, I think, at the very end of our show one day. And we're just like, I can't believe Bobby Wagner, a guy who at this point is just playing for another ring, more than anything else, you would think, wants to come here. And it clearly showed us how much Dan Quinn meant. And he has meant so much to this team. The way he leads, the example he sets, not to mention what he gives you on the field. So the veteran who is willing to help build a foundation, even if when the house gets finished, he's probably not going to be here anymore. Him, Zach, many others, who all of the players pretty much in that category gave more on the field than I think anyone anticipated. Those guys have been essential to this team, this year, this story. So Bobby is one of the all-pros. Number two, Austin Ekeler. We need to find pieces that are basically one man's trash, our treasure. Hey, who else around the league do we think is still got more or is not being used in a way that we can use them and elevate them to back to where they were? And for Ekeler, you got kind of the highest version of that for him as a kick returner. And by the way, a kind of ingenuity bonus points, because remember, the kick return's new this year. We're all used to it by now, but nobody knew what the right type of kick returner was going into the season. The Steelers, when the new kick return rule got announced, went and signed Cordarrelle Patterson immediately. Like, yeah, he's probably going to be a good kick returner because he's one of the best we've seen in the last decade plus of the league. But a lot of people were like, I don't know, is it going to be fast guys? Is it going to be power guys? And the Commanders, I think pretty quickly, as a staff, were like, it's a gigantic running play, and it's this kind of running play, and we think Austin Ekeler can be good at that. And so they go get Ekeler. He is an essential part of their passing game. He's been good as a third down back. He's been good in pass pro, and he makes all pros a kick returner, something that I don't think he did a lot of in L.A., but it has been excellent at here. So think of guys like Alamide Zaccheaus, who were had some success in other places, downturn in their career, and the Commanders staff this year has gotten the most out of them. Austin Ekeler, he represents them. It's another pillar in this story. Then you have Frankie Louvu, who is an essential part of the Commanders' success this year, and the players like him, even if they are very few in number. And that is the rare outside free agent that they decided is a part of our long-term process. Because they built through the draft, and they're going to build through the draft, because that is where you get your best players. But if you can find players that are undervalued in the market, that are about what you're about, and get the maximum out of them, that is a magical skill for an NFL front office. And really, the two that stand out above everyone else are Tyler Biadasz, who Dan Quinn knew very well from Dallas, had to play against him every single day in practice, but is not a guy that he was in meetings with and all that kind of stuff. Like, he was an offensive player, and Dan Quinn was on the defense. But he understood Tyler Biadasz is about the things that I want to be about. He's a guy that can help us, and we need a veteran center to help our rookie quarterback. And so they signed Tyler Biadasz to a multi-year deal. They signed Frankie Louvu because they knew in their defense, if they can weaponize a versatile player in the ways that they weaponize Micah Parsons, even if that player is not Micah Parsons, because no one is Micah Parsons, then their defense will be way better and they can do stuff that they want to do. They can mix their fronts. They can mix their coverages. They can mix how they match their personnel to certain other offensive personnel groupings. We don't have to just be predictable. We can be unpredictable without changing the players on the field based off how we simply align them and then ask them to do certain things. And Frankie Louvu was the guy that they identified, and Frankie Louvu has had the best season of his career by a mile. That is one of the archetypes and one of the stories of the season. And then last but not least, the guys here that they got more out of than anybody else before. And that, of course, is no better illustrated than by Terry McLaurin. Terry, who has been excellent, Pro Bowl caliber, year after year after year. But we've always been left wondering, what happens if he gets a quarterback? What happens if he gets an offensive coordinator that realizes just how good he is in a way that actually is actioned upon? Where it's not just like, yeah, he's our best player. It's like, that dude's our best player. We're going to get him the ball. And we're going to get him the ball in key, big situations. And that's what Cliff has done. That's what Dan made sure that Cliff has done. This is a team-wide thing. Get 17 the football. And in the biggest moments, time and time again, third downs or even need to score. Cincinnati, third down, need to score to seal the game. Let's go. Hey, Terry, what play do you want, man? I want to line up over here, and I want to go. And just throw me the freaking ball. They do. Touchdown. Ball game. A star is born in Jaden Daniels that night, but it's Terry on the receiving end all the way through to week 18 where he sets the touchdown record from Marcus Mariota on the game's final meaningful play. And you have guys not just like Terry, but you have guys like De'Ami Brown. You have some others who are having the best seasons of their career. I know Brian Robinson has slowed as of late, but yardage-wise, this is the best season of his career. On down the list, there are guys, the ones that they kept, they're like, this is your role, we know you. And the one piece that's missing in representation on this All-Pro team is the rookies, and that is what it is. You will get representation with other awards, a la Rookie of the Year when Jaden Daniels officially wins it. He only won 11 of the 18 Rookie of the Year, or Rookie of the Week awards, and by the way, his teammate Mike Sainer still won it in Week 18. That is the story of the season. Summed up in trophies, assuming you get a trophy for All-Pro. And it's a very cool story to witness, and it's one that we hope continues far beyond Sunday, but it does set up for a hell of a day on Sunday. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, some keys inside the game, and then we're pretty much in full breakdown mode all day long here on the Team 980. Some of our typical Friday segments, we're going to kind of squeeze and shorten on some of the other games. For instance, like we're going to go and preview the other games very quickly, if we even have time at 5:45, but we are almost all Commanders and Bucks today. Trevor Sikkema joins us coming up at 4:30 from Pro Football Focus. JP Finley at 5:00. Mike Mayock. Yeah. Mike Mayock is joining us. He's going to be on the call for Westwood One this Sunday. He's going to be with us at 5:30. You'll hear from Logan at 6:30. Our pick six at six, where we'll pick the most important players in the game coming up at 6:00. And then we run out of show. So that's kind of how the day is going to be spent. It's the Hoffman Show. We're getting you ready for the Commanders' first playoff game since 2021, looking for their first playoff win since 2005 here on the Team 980.